Well, our reading this evening is going to be from Psalm 23. Now, if you're a visitor, we've been going through this psalm over the last few weeks. It's a very famous psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. And if you want to read the passage with us this evening, it's on page 458 of the Church Bibles. We're going to be concentrating, when I preach, particularly on Psalm 23, verse 4, but I'll read the whole psalm now to get the context. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we come this evening, we can know that Christ is our shepherd. We ask, Lord, that you would bless your word to us. It is perfect. It is inerrant. We pray, Lord, as we go through this verse together, Lord, that we'd have a clearer vision of who Christ is and what he has done. Lord, may we all be changed by the power of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said a moment ago, this evening we're concentrating on verse 4 of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now you might hear this verse and wonder, have we got the wrong text? Why are we talking about death at Christmas time? After all, for most people, Christmas is about the decorations and the lights on the Christmas tree, dreaming of a white Christmas and hoping to have some snow to play in. Or it's about looking forward to unwrapping our presents, having Christmas dinner, and relaxing in front of the TV. Christmas is a time of feasting, of games, and fun. The Coca-Cola adverts seem to capture what many people feel they have to have at Christmas: a bright, cheerful holiday with smiles and laughter. There is no room for anything deeper or more profound. But we know, don't we, that behind the bright lights and the wrapping paper, people are living and dying every day. Death doesn't stop at Christmas time. The accident and the emergency departments do not shut for the holidays. The Bible says death is part of the punishment from God for our rebellion against him. The wages of sin are death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we will all die one day. Thinking about these facts is not anti-Christmas. It is extremely relevant to think about these things at Christmas, because Christmas is the time we remember Jesus coming into the world. The Jesus who was laid in a manger, visited by shepherds and wise men, came to conquer death. Even though he had done nothing wrong, he went as an adult to the cross. He took the punishment we all deserve. He died in our place, and he was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he will never die again. In Christ, the grave has been overcome. The baby in the manger came to live and to die and to live again for us. And all who trust in him are promised eternal life. The book of Romans says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what we should be remembering at Christmas time. Because of what Jesus has done, death is defeated. The free gift of eternal life is offered to everyone. So the verse we have this evening, which is looking at how we approach death, is in a very real way summing up the whole reason for Christmas. Every one of us will die, but in Jesus Christ, death is not the end. We can have eternal life. David, the psalmist who wrote these lines, knew he would one day die. He trusted in the Lord, but it didn't make him immune to death. And as he thinks about death, he calls it a valley. It is not a mountaintop experience. It's not something to be savored or celebrated. Instead, David says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He imagines death as being like a deep valley. If you've ever been walking in the countryside beside mountains, you know how the sun can seem to disappear behind the ridge, and what was once a bright and cheerful path becomes chilly and gloomy. The same thing happens in cities. The sun is caught behind a row of high-rise buildings. Their shadows fall across the street, and the street becomes dark and foreboding, perhaps even frightening. For David, this valley is deep darkness. The sides of the valley seem to blot out any light there might be. It is pitch black. The Bible is realistic about death. It never sugarcoats it or tries to hide how horrendous it is. The oncoming darkness is frightening. It's even terrifying if we don't know what's in it. And of course, none of us knows when we might die. It isn't just the darkness, the uncertainty of when we might fall into that darkness causes worry for so many people. Even when we don't think we are immediately facing death, we know it can cast a shadow over the rest of our life. The shadow of death can be seen in long-term illness, cancer, dementia. Loved ones seem to be wasting away to just skin and bones. Or the shadow of death falls across our minds, and we struggle with depression and grief. When Christmas dinner is served next week, there will be many families with an empty seat at the dinner table where a loved one used to sit. The Bible calls death the last enemy. It is a bleak, sinister force which robs us of life and happiness. It is our opponent, our enemy. David doesn't skip through the valley. He walks solemnly through the gloom. Given the horrible nature of death, we might be surprised to read what David says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How can David face all of this without being afraid? What enables him to do so? Christ does. He can face death because of Jesus. Two things stand out about Jesus in this verse: his presence and his comfort. First of all, his presence. David knows the Lord is with him, even in the valley. He's not facing this alone. If you're a Christian, then God is always with you. By rights, God shouldn't be close to us. Our sin, the things we have done against God, the breaking of his holy law, our rebellion would make us his enemy. But when you become a Christian, you are totally forgiven for all your sins. And God's Holy Spirit is given to you. The Spirit of Christ dwells within you. He never leaves you. To be a Christian, then, is to be someone who always has God with them. This is why the Bible says, for all believers, neither life, nor death, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. This was definitely true for David as he wrote this verse. He knew God was with him. But it goes further than this. David doesn't just know the theory. He is keenly aware of just how true it is. He goes out of his way to emphasize the Lord's presence with him. At the beginning of this psalm, David talks about the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul." But now in verse 4, David changes the way he speaks. He's no longer talking about the Lord, but to the Lord. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The Lord is close enough to talk to have a conversation with. He isn't just leading from the front at a distance, but his Lord is by his side, along with him. We have many, many Christian testimonies of those who would say the same thing. When things seemed at their hardest, or when death was closing in, they knew the particular presence of the Lord Jesus with them. Take a moment and listen to this testimony of a Christian minister as he was facing death. 2 hours before he died, he sat up in bed and a light came onto his face. And he said to his son sitting beside him, "Get your mother, bring them all down. I am seeing into heaven and I can see the Savior. He is with me." His wife came down and she started to cry. But he said, "Peggy, don't cry. This is what I have been waiting for. This is my coronation day." He was like that until he passed into the glory he was seeing. It is a wonderful thing to see God's people go home to the Father's house. And it is a terrible thing, on the other hand, to see people go out into eternal darkness. Not everybody has the strength or the ability to speak when they are dying. But every Christian can be certain Christ is with them in those moments. For David, despite the darkness of the valley, he could be fearless because he did not travel into it alone, but in the presence of his Lord and King. And David goes on to say that this same Lord who was with him comforted him. David says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David has already described his Lord as his shepherd, and he sees David using the tools of a shepherd. First of all, the rod, and then the staff. The rod is a type of club. It's a big, thick piece of wood, possibly part of a tree branch, with metal pieces put into one end. It's like a small baseball bat that's being carried by the shepherd. And as they went along, the shepherd would use it to defend his sheep. If a wolf or a lion or even a thief tried to make off with one of his flock, the shepherd would attack it with his rod. He would defend his sheep with all of his strength. So the club was a weapon which protected the sheep from danger. David knows his Lord, who is by his side, is armed and ready to protect his people as they pass through death. Jesus won't allow any of his people to be snatched from him. We are kept secure in the strength of Christ. Christians enjoy the eternal protection and security provided by the very might of God himself. And then we have the staff. The staff is a shepherd's crook. It has a curve at one end, which could be hooked around a sheep. If a sheep falls from the edge of the path or gets stuck, the shepherd can pull them back again. If a sheep starts to wander off by itself, the shepherd could use the rest of the staff to push it back into line, or if necessary, give it a bit more of a whack. Sometimes sheep just don't go where they need to go. They want to go for what appears to them to be greener grass in dangerous and unsafe areas. But the shepherd knows best. He knows the route, and he keeps them on the safe path with them. This is exactly what Jesus does for his people. He cares for them by keeping them close to him. If they fall down, he picks them back up again. If they start going in the wrong direction, he will lovingly restrain them. He will pull them back and bring them back into line so they will go through the valley. To be one of God's people is to be ruled by Christ. And his discipline, that restraint and that pulling back, is as much a part of his love for his people as his protection. The rod and the staff, the protection from enemies, and the restraining even of our willful disobedience, show how God comforts his people. When everything else is fading, Jesus carefully protects, restrains, guides his people. We are comforted to know that nothing can take us from Christ. We cannot wander away and be lost. But there is an added comfort from the fact that the rod and the staff belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who has gone ahead of us and overcome the grave. He has already passed through death. He alone has traveled this path before. He knows what's in the darkness. He knows what potential dangers or temptations there might be in it. But he has conquered death. And he is perfectly able to guard and to guide us. Jesus is not a weak savior. If he promises to take you through death, then he will accomplish it and everything else that he has promised. So when we know Jesus, we can say, like David, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David knows his Lord is with him. David knows that his Lord is protecting him. Now, I said at the beginning that the wages of sin is death. We have all sinned and we will all die. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the best gift which can be offered to anyone this Christmas time. For those who trust in Jesus, there is a future beyond death, the promise of eternal life because of what Jesus has accomplished. You see, there are only really two options. You could refuse the gift of Jesus. If you do, you are choosing to travel through the valley of the shadow of death by yourself, to go into the darkness alone, to face death without Jesus' presence or his comfort. God is still your enemy. Your sins have not been paid for. You are under his eternal judgment. If you choose this option, his judgment and the darkness will be all that you will know forever. But if you accept the free gift, then you will have eternal life. You will have Jesus with you forever. There will be nothing which can separate you from the love of God. And Jesus will shepherd you through death and into eternal life, into his kingdom. David, the man who wrote this psalm, accepted the gift. He knew Jesus so well that he could speak to him, write about him, praise him. What about you? Do you know this Jesus personally? Do you know Jesus as my Lord? Not as a concept, not as something that your granny told you about, but do you personally have faith in Christ? As you celebrate Christmas, do not forget its true meaning. Jesus came into the world to pay for our sins. In Christ, we find forgiveness. In Christ, death is truly defeated. And if you are saved by Christ, the Bible promises you eternity with him. One writer puts it like this: God makes known to me the path of life. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. My friends, I cannot offer you Christ more plainly. And I cannot warn you the dangers of refusing to accept him any more bluntly. Do not continue in lifestyles and ways of thought and of thinking, ways of living that give you no pleasure, but keep you from eternal happiness. Turn to Christ tonight. And let us all, I pray, be able to say by the end of this evening that even though we might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because Christ is with us and his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Let us pray.